Welcome back, Tasty Crypto Show. I'm Ryan Grace here with the one and only, the craziest man at Tasty Live, Mad Mike.
And Tasty Trade.
Everywhere, in the whole building.
The whole city, man.
Well, that might be a stretch, Mike. But welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good. We've been doing a lot of research the last couple days talking about the Athena protocol.
Yes.
That launched not too long ago. So we're going to kind of dive into that and explore it. The yield on this protocol has been insane. It topped over 102% APY in March. Where is it coming from? How are they getting the yield? And how can people participate?
Yeah, we're jumping into Athena today. Synthetic dollars on chain. This is an innovative area or an innovative project in DeFi. This is really interesting to me. There's a lot of market mechanics that we'll walk through in terms of how this works. I'm excited to get into it. But before we do that, I've got to tell everybody to sign up for the email that you
write. My newsletter, sure.
Yeah, newsletter every Saturday morning, first thing.
7:30 Central Time.
Best crypto email you'll read all week is what we like to say. If you want to check it out, I think it's fantastic. It's an enjoyable read. You can go to the Tasty Crypto website, scroll down to the bottom of the page, sign up for this. The list is growing. I'm excited about it. So I think everybody else should check that out. So that's our plug for the show. But let's jump into this. I want to talk about Athena, like you mentioned, synthetic dollars. This is interesting, Mike, because not that it came out of nowhere, but meteoric rise. If you look at a chart of TVL, I think we're over 2 billion when you look at Athena, and that's just in the last couple of months. It's on everybody's radar. Synthetic dollars. What is this?
So when I think about Athena and the strategy they're doing, it's not complicated if you understand like basic arbitrage strategies, which is what they're doing. I like to think that when you interact with Athena, you're participating in a sort of decentralized hedge fund. Because anybody could theoretically replicate the entire process that they do.
Sure.
But it's difficult because these guys interact with, you know, maybe five or six different centralized exchanges, and they have algorithms in place to constantly adjust the strategy. But in short, Ryan, in crypto, in perpetuals, there's something called a funding rate.
Okay.
And in order, if you are buying spot crypto, versus the perpetual future contract, which is like normal future contract that doesn't expire.
Yeah, well, let's take a step back. Just for everybody that's watching that's not necessarily familiar with a perpetual future,
sure.
Unlike your traditional futures listed with the CME where you have a monthly or maybe a quarterly expiration, these are perpetual. They never expire.
They never expire.
There's no calendar expiration date that you see the future price converge to the spot price.
Right. But so the perpetual is almost always traded a premium to the spot price.
Okay.
And that could, you know, who's to say that that can go twice as high as the spot price? So they have checks in place, something called a funding rate, which applies downward pressure on that bullish market in order to keep it more in line with the spot price. So if you're going to buy a perpetual, which is just like a normal future with the exception that it never expires, then you have to pay a funding rate. Whereas if you sell that perpetual, you receive the funding rate. So that gives the short sellers incentive to sell because they're getting that premium, right? And it gives the long holders less incentive to hold that position, therefore putting it back in line with the spot price.
Okay, so compared to traditional futures market forward curve where I might look at, let's say crude oil, for example, and I look out on the curve, and if the price of crude oil is $85, $90 or so today, we could see that out into the summer months, it might be, you know, 95, 100, whatever it might be. You have a curve that's either in contango in that scenario or in backwardation. This is a lot different in that you still have a difference between a spot price and a future price, but you don't have future prices out in time at various calendar points. You instead just have a rate that if I want to go long, I'm going to pay, and that rate is going to be variable depending on, I suppose, how many people on whatever exchange it is are going long that underlying perpetual future. It then incentivizes, if I understand this correctly, it incentivizes short sellers to come in because you're going to, as a short,
you're
going to
get paid.
You receive the rate versus when you're long in this scenario where there's a positive funding rate, you're going to pay that rate to have that exposure.
Right. And the faster the market moves up, you know, the more bullish it gets, the higher that funding rate that the longs pay. Therefore, the higher the premium that the sellers of those futures receive.
Okay. We have this here on the slide as well, which we just kind of talked through. But this is really important to understand because this is a core component to how the Athena synthetic dollar position is created and where the yield comes from. Because when you look at these yields, in some cases, they've been eye-watering. It's a variable market interest rate. I don't think there's anything kind of funny about it. You know, a lot of times people look at these things and think, okay, algorithmic stablecoin. I don't necessarily think this is an algorithmic stablecoin. You could categorize it as that. But what they really build this as is a synthetic dollar position that's right. represented on chain via this process.
Yeah.
It's really innovative in that sense.
Yeah. It's when you think about it, it's almost like, why hasn't this existed before? There's been rumblings of it. And of course, once they went live, it just absolutely soared. But going back to the naming of it, the founder, Guy Young, even said a lot of people are calling this a stablecoin. And we're going to get into the stablecoin and how to mint it and how to participate in this a little bit later on. But it is not a stablecoin. It is a synthetic dollar. And it's important to know that difference.
Okay, let's talk about that difference then. So for anybody that's not familiar, when I think about a stablecoin, you think about USDT, US Dollar Tether, or USDC from Circle. This is a one-to-one, presumably one-to-one representation of a U.S. dollar on-chain. So in a bank somewhere, there are U.S. dollars or dollar equivalents, maybe treasury bill, short-term paper, whatever it might be. But you have dollars on one hand, we mint tokens on the other hand, they're backed one-to-one by the dollars in the bank. Could they lose their peg? Sure, we've seen that happen at times, but it's a representation of a dollar in the crypto ecosystem.
Right.
In DeFi.
It's simple.
Yes.
And you can even redeem those stablecoins for the actual dollar. That is not what we're talking about with Athena.
This is a synthetic dollar position or the representation of a dollar that comes from a delta neutral trade, essentially, that is a carry trade that's constructed, and we'll get into the mechanics of this, but it's constructed by a couple components, really. You have underlying collateral, that's Ethereum, that's then staked. So you have this bullish position, delta, you know, positive in that sense. And that's going to generate some yield when you stake your ETH. The native yield on Ethereum is somewhere between 3 and 5%. So you get that yield, right? You have the underlying currency risk. But the currency risk is hedged with a perpetual future against it, giving you a delta neutral position. You receive that rate on the short side of the perpetual futures contract, and that goes into the total rate that's paid on an annual basis when we create this delta neutral synthetic dollar position.
Yeah, to kind of make it even more simple, you're long Ethereum here and you're short Ethereum here, right? So it offsets each other. And that short Ethereum is paying you to hold it. So that little extra premium you're getting is how this this protocol is paying out these magnificent yields we've been seeing, because they've been so high. The funding rates have been so high over the last month. Not last week so much, but over the last month or two, they've been skyrocketing.
And again, when we look at how this works, when you have a bull market like we've been in, you would expect to see that there is a positive funding rate because it's going to become more and more expensive. The kind of more stretch that market gets to go long, there's the incentive to bring short sellers into the market and take the other side of this, kind of balance things out. And then, as you had mentioned, the opposite is true, though we don't see this that often. The opposite is true in bearish markets. The funding rate has traded or does trade negative at times.
Yeah, and that's why the visual might be a little bit misleading. Just because we're in a bearish market doesn't necessarily mean we're going to see a negative funding rate, but the probability goes up when we're in bearish markets.
Yeah, when I look at some charts of weighted funding rates on a daily basis here, you do see at times, and you have some volatility in the market, that this does go into negative territory. It really doesn't stay there that often, though, because when you think about it, if it were to be pretty persistent, at least in this sort of market environment, then you would have a real incentive, I think, to get long if you, yeah, you know, aren't inherently bullish, because in this case, you're getting paid.
Yeah, it's almost like getting a yield on your long future.
Sure. Yeah. So we don't see that persist too often in the market, but it does happen. And it is a risk that we'll talk about. But before we do that, just to kind of continue the discussion on how this is constructed, because again, when people see these numbers, you naturally have questions. There have been comparisons to like Terra Luna. This is definitely not the same thing at all. And I don't think it's really even a fair comparison. This is a carry trade that's been tokenized on chain, and there are ways that you can participate. And this is, again, how it works. You've got the underlying spot, you sell a future against it, you collect that premium in the form of the funding rate, plus you have the rate from the staked ETH collateral.
Yeah, it's beautiful in its simplicity, but it's risky in the dynamics and how many different touches that this protocol has to achieve that yield. When we're looking at the funding rate, we're not just talking about, they're not just selling futures on Binance, they're selling futures on many different exchanges.
Okay.
And that introduces risk. All I have to say is FTX.
Yeah, you do have, you know, counterparty risk in that sense. And again, we're not going to beat around the bush. This is not something that's risk-free. I don't think in crypto there's anything that's risk-free. In markets, generally speaking, outside of the U.S. government and lending to the government.
Right.
There's really not anything that's risk-free, certainly in terms of getting your principal back. And so keep that in mind. But also, I think that...
I want to say, Ryan, to, you know, just in case Guy Young is listening to this, they do have mechanisms in place to reduce that counterparty risk, to sort of alleviate it with off-exchange custodians.
Okay.
So that does help reduce some of the exchange risk.
Yeah, I think this is very well thought through. You know, it's very interesting. Again, I think it's an innovative area of DeFi. And when you look at this, again, there are risks, but I don't believe that they're overly complex, right? What we're mostly talking about here is a variable interest rate and interest rate risk in the event that we do see this trend into negative territory in terms of that funding rate. It's probably not a position that you want to hold, right? Over time, it's going to lose money. But when you think about how this is constructed on a delta neutral basis, that short position, as traders get out of this vehicle, that short is covered.
Yeah.
And then maybe it has a little bit of a balancing effect.
Yeah, and they do have measures in place. So when the funding rates, if and when they do go negative, they just get out of the position and you're just collecting yield on the staked ETH now.
Okay.
So I'm not sure exactly how that works, but they're just not going to sit on a losing trade.
Well, and that's a good point, because you often think, okay, I'm in Ethereum, it's very volatile at times, that's my risk. No, that risk has been hedged. This is a delta neutral position. You're long ETH, or you have underlying ETH that's being staked as collateral on one hand, short futures against it. Those two delta movements are going to cancel each other out, or those positions are going to offset, right? So a bit about how this is constructed, where the yield comes from, and how this works. How do you participate? Like, how do you actually use this, or what's the process look like to get into this system?
Well, as long as you're not a U.S. resident or Australia resident or a few other countries, you're able to participate. We, unfortunately, are not able to participate, but we can live vicariously through others by looking at some of the screenshots here. The first step, as we can see, is mint. So that's your input. What are you putting in as collateral to participate in this yield-generating opportunity?
Okay.
So we can see that there's several different coins you can use, usually Ethereum or different derivatives of Ethereum, or even a stablecoin, USDT.
Okay. So I've either got ETH or US dollars in token form here.
Right.
That I can deposit into the protocol and then receive the USDE token.
That's step one.
Okay.
So now you have USDE token.
So I've kind of plugged my collateral into this machine, we'll call
it,
into the protocol, and I receive tokens back as a result. And this is where that synthetic dollar position is created. Obviously, a lot's going to happen behind the scenes or under the hood, however you want to think about it. But you're providing ETH or collateral. This thing is doing its thing, and you're receiving now this dollar position, USDE, synthetic dollar on chain, that's created as a result.
Right.
Okay.
But we're not done yet. In order
to
create the internet bond, as Guy Young calls it,
okay,
we have to take, and this is where it can get a little bit confusing. So we mint USDE, so we have that. We do it right through Athena.
Okay.
But now, in order to participate, we actually have to stake that.
Got it.
And then so the next step is actually stake USDE to SUDSE, which stands for staked US dollar.
Got it. Okay. Makes sense. So that's kind of my synthetic dollar position. If I want to generate this yield on it, I stake that. It's going to accrue more USDE. I reverse that whole process to unstake or to unwind.
Yeah, later on.
And so ultimately, I generate yield and I have more USD or the equivalent value of dollars in whatever form it is, whether it's ETH or USDT. I have more dollars at the end of this than when I started.
Ideally.
Through this process,
right,
which is a way to have a tokenized form of a carry trade on chain.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Again, it takes some thinking in order to go through all these steps. Once you understand it, it's quite clear and almost simple. And as you're holding that USD position, your position size is going to go up as that yield is collected. It just goes right into the USDE coin. And then when you're all done, you can redeem it for the, whatever your collateral was and receive that plus the yield that you accrued.
Got it. And when we look at the yield, what have those rates looked like? Again, they're going to be variable, but what have we seen so far since this has come out? I mean, what is, I guess, what's attracting a couple $1 billion in capital into this protocol in just the matter of months?
In March, the yield was 102%.
Okay.
When you look at that from a risk profile, that makes a lot of sense to me. If I could do it, I would do it, just because the risk, it's all risk reward. There's risks in anything we do. Whenever you have a reward, you have risk. And these risks are just so moderate compared to the reward. So we're looking at 102% in March. Last week it was 36%, and we've had a huge sell-off in Bitcoin over the last week.
Yeah.
And it's still sitting, I think, at about 12%. When I took the screenshot this morning from the protocol's website, it's 17.2% APY.
Interesting.
And that's in the bearish market.
Okay. You would imagine then that over time there is a bit of an interest rate arbitrage strategy that could be deployed here, where I could go out and borrow at a much lower rate to receive this higher rate. And you know, again, there is risk with trading and with this process, but in the sense that what we're really doing, and that's the key thing to understand here, is this is not some sort of, you know, as I see it, in my opinion, from looking at this, this does not appear to be in any form or fashion some sort of kind of Ponzi scheme or fixed rate thing. Like all of these centralized kind of banking crypto companies blew up, right? Like a Celsius where, hey, I'll give you this rate if you give me your tokens. You have no idea what I'm going to do with them, but I just will always pay you 10%, right? That's not the case at all. This is a variable rate. It's real. It's derived from that funding rate. It's derived from the ETH staking yield. And so we know where it's coming from. It's not some sort of black box.
It's just a simple carry trade. If we have, you know, SPX traders, it's not too different than a box trade.
Yeah.
We're able to almost lock in an interest rate. So it's kind of like that. The reason it's so complicated is because they're tokenizing it, and that involves a lot of different steps. So that's why it may seem a little bit overwhelming.
Well, I think that's what's really innovative about this, right? When you look around the DeFi space, you know, we have stablecoins, huge innovation there. You've got decentralized exchanges. You've got some borrow and lend protocols. But this is, you know, this is something that I think people are getting excited about. And clearly, you know, when you look at the numbers, it indicates that. So let's talk a little bit more about the risks, Mike. And then I want to talk about the role that this plays in the overall ecosystem. Because this is, you know, again, this is not a stable coin. This is a completely different representation of a synthetic dollar. And it, you know, I think there's a role for it in DeFi. But before we do that, let's talk about some of the risks that do exist, just to cover this off.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have the risks that exist for every DeFi protocol, smart contract risk, of course. We have exchange risks, which is, you know, somewhat unloaded by that self-custody solution that they have. We have liquidity risk, which could be a substantial risk if the protocol grows, continues to grow at the rate it's growing. That's why they're expanding to Bitcoin. Because there's a lot more liquidity in Bitcoin than Ethereum. So
So there's a limit in theory then to how large this can get.
I would say so. I mean, at the rate it's growing, they're going to have a liquidity crisis if it continues to grow at this rate 6 months from now. So that is something to keep an eye on, because you just can't sell a billion Ethereum perpetuals and expect they're not to be.
Right. You have to have the demand on the other side
of
that, right? Okay. That's an interesting point.
And the last one is just a lot of different external risk. Every time they touch something, there's a risk, and they touch quite a few things.
Yeah. You know, and I hope that this continues to grow. We'll have an eye on it. We want to see projects succeed in the space. And this is one that, you know, definitely is exciting. Let's talk a little bit more, though, about stablecoins and the role that this plays in DeFi, because stablecoins are instrumental to participating in DeFi, what's happening on chain, but...
And we're talking about USD, which it's not a stablecoin, but it's hard to put it under another category. So for the sake of argument right now, we're calling it a stablecoin.
Synthetic dollar, stablecoin, presumably if this grows, and clearly it is growing, there will be, you know, USDE that's used in many, you know, many ways in the same way that USDT or USDC is used here today, right? Maybe it'll be collateral, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think people can point out what risks might arise from that. But if it's used as collateral or used in the same way that USDC is today, but you also have this added yield that you can generate when you stake it, you know, I think you're going to see more demand for it. It's just that this is relatively new, and versus the stablecoin market, it's very small. But I think what's kind of maybe ironic or just kind of, you know, funny is that stablecoins themselves, given the role they play in DeFi, though they aren't really all that decentralized.
No, I think most people, most crypto pros would say centralized stablecoins, like the two we're looking at right here, USDT, USDC, they're both very much centralized. And that poses a huge risk because stablecoins are kind of the oil of the crypto ecosystem. And if one of them goes down, boy, are we in trouble.
Yeah.
We can see here the red is the stablecoin market, and we can see how small of a share cryptos, mostly like MakerDAO, which is decentralized, and, you know, coming up right now, USDE, constitute the vast majority of the decentralized stablecoins.
Yeah, you know, it's a synthetic dollar position that's fungible when you think about stablecoins or how it might be used in this system. But it's truly decentralized versus a USDC or USDT. And I'm not saying that one is right or wrong or better than the other. But this is, again, a decentralized form that we haven't really seen many decentralized stablecoins.
Yeah, I mean, not successfully, anyway, not to scale.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the last chart that we have here before we just do a quick wrap-up of some market action is just to take a look at how quickly U.S. dollar Athena, USDE, has grown. And again, these things can come and go. But we're looking at the total market cap of decentralized stablecoins here. DAI is the biggest, and it's possible that USDE, you know, maybe takes first place over time.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. It's the growth is astronomical.
Yeah, is this something that when you look at this project, and again, it's a function of the market that we're in, but are you bullish on something like this? What are your final thoughts on this?
I'm not bullish on a lot in crypto.
Okay.
I'm not bullish on maybe 7 or 8 different protocols or coins, but this is one I'm very, very bullish on. I see the utility, I understand the risks, and I understand the reward. And it seems like Athena or a protocol similar to it will inevitably lead to the future of stablecoins and to help build that decentralized ecosystem that we so desperately need.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how this evolves. My guess is that given the early success it's realized, you're going to see others pop up.
I think there are a couple others. I forgot the names. Yeah.
Okay. Well, something we're going to keep an eye on. Before we wrap things up, Mike, want to take a look at the expected moves where we're at in volatility terms for both Bitcoin and Ethereum. Continuing to see a little bit of selling pressure. Bitcoin hanging around 60,000. ETH trading, chopping around 3,000. I think last time I checked, it was underneath it. But when running our numbers earlier before the show, you've got a 71% implied volatility on a 30-day basis for Bitcoin, 78% for Ethereum. That's up 12% in the last 5 days. So you can see there's a volatility expansion that's been ongoing as we've sold off a little bit. Those volatilities are near the top end of their range with the IVR for ETH at 83 and for Bitcoin, it's at 74. But there are your ranges, and it really hasn't changed much. I mean, week to week, what we've seen, regardless of whether vol chops between 70 and 80, when I look at Bitcoin, given the spot price, we can expect about a 10% move when we look at that underlying on a weekly basis. So 61.5 for Bitcoin, about a $6,000 one standard deviation move, there's your range. And with Ethereum, about the same thing, $325 is what the market is starting to price in over the next week. That can change, but it is where we are today.
I mean, in my opinion, I get these feelings sometimes, Ryan, and I'm neutral. I'm Delta neutral at the moment, market neutral. I think we're going to tread water where we're at for the next few months, just because, you know, vol has been spiked, and usually when vol kind of hits that peak, we kind of just hang there, suspend there for a while, and I think that's what we're going to do. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we're going to continue to chop. You know, we have done a few shows in the past where we've excitedly talked about what you could see in this upcoming cycle, the upcoming cycle being, let's say, the next 1 to 2 years. Post-halving, we've obviously seen bullish environments in the past. We think, you know, probabilities are that it will happen again to some extent. So we've thrown out some of those price targets for fun. But I do think that the chop is going to continue for now. You know, our view coming into this was that we were going to see higher volatility. I think you're going to see these larger ranges. You know, maybe that range is 50 to 70. I do think there's the potential for more weakness. You could see a kind of buy the rumor, sell the news sort of event with the halving. Though generally, I am very bullish. I think we're in a secular bull market here. But there will be opportunities to buy dips. Maybe we're in the midst of one of those right now. I still think you could get down to, let's say, 55,000 when you look at some of the moving averages and what we're starting to price in clearly here on the screen with volatility. So in the low 50s, I'm more of a buyer than I am here today. I have been adding to some positions, though, on this pullback. The key is you need to sell some of those and take some profits when you're back at the top of the range until we really break out of that. And nothing, you know, at this point, obviously, indicates that we're going to break out of that range anytime soon. So you got to trade the market that you're given. But that's kind of how I'm looking at it. I am bullish, but, you know, again, wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit more weakness here short term. How about yourself? I think you've talked about how you don't believe that the halving is really all that bullish. Where are you at?
I mean, I'm still in the same camp. It's going to happen in a few days from now. And I mean, look what we've done since the last discussion we've had. We've gone down.
Yeah, what I'm interested in and excited about, I've started to spend a little bit more time going into the weeds on what's happening on Bitcoin, specifically with ordinals, with the runes protocol, with more fungible token standard coming to Bitcoin. And so that runes protocol, I believe, is going to launch at the same time as the halving, right around the same time. So I'm going to keep an eye on that. We'll do a future show on it and get into detail there. But I'm really excited about what's happening on Solana, what's happening on Bitcoin. You know, we've talked before off air about Coinbase's layer two. So there's a lot that is going on. I think a lot to be excited about, a lot of opportunities as a result. And so we'll talk about those in more detail. But in terms of just price action here, again, you know, I think this is going to, in the very short term, probably trade in line with you know, what we're seeing across risk assets. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if we get a little bit of buy the rumor, sell the news when it comes to the halving.
We're at a six week low on Bitcoin right now.
All right. Well, we're ready. We will leave it at that. That is our show on the Athena Protocol synthetic dollars. If anybody has any questions or wants to discuss this further, shoot us an email. I'm Ryan at Tasty Crypto. He's Mike at Tasty Crypto. Follow us at Tasty Crypto on X as well. And hit us up on YouTube. You can find us everywhere. But until then, I will be back with Frank next Monday. Mike will be back with me on Wednesday. But I'm Ryan Grace.
I'm Mad Mike.
This is the Tasty Crypto Show. Thanks for watching.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered